Hi, this is Terry Ryan, and this is podcast number 5, and I have the great pleasure to talk to my good friend, Rita Rimmer, and that is spelled R-I-M-M-E-R, and she is a thermographer, is that the right way? A technician, and she is, her website is healthythermalimaging.com, and I want to tell you a background about how I got interested in Rita, and the way I did is because I was, this is all about breast health, and I have what you call lumpy breasts. I have a lot of cysts in my breast, and there's a lot of reasons for that. Some people say too much coffee, I'm estrogen dominant, but anyhow, I was doing what the doctors recommended, and they said, come in for a mammogram every year. And I was going in for a mammogram every year, which was the squeeze between the plates and then the uncomfortableness. And then the worry about going there for a week before the appointment. What are they going to find? What are they not going to find? What if they miss something? All that was going through my mind. I think the American woman now is pretty scared of their own breasts. It's horrible. And so anyhow, I was going through this, what the conventional medicine was telling me to do, and I was going in and having my mammograms done. Did I say that right? Mammograms? Mm-hmm. So anyhow, I was going in there, and they find, every time I would go in, they would find a cyst or a lump or a spot. And then I would have to come back in and do many more mammograms, which means many, much more x-rays. And so what happened, okay, I'm just picking up my dog here, okay, Molly. So what was happening was I was getting a lot more dosage of radiation, and I am one of those people who worries about the radiation dosage. I know a lot of women don't, and that's perfectly fine, but I am one of those people who do worry about it because I have read that there is no dose so low that does not cause cancer. Every dose in the minutest manner causes cancer. So if you go in for a mammogram and you get one every 10 years, my God, you're increasing your risk of breast cancer. You are focusing that ray on delicate breast tissues. So anyhow, here I am, cysts galore, lumps, suspicious things on my breasts, going back in for more mammograms. Then they would send me to the ultrasound.
Should I kiss her?
And what was happening? It was a cyst. Okay, now I was getting sick and tired of this rodeo. And I was the circus. I didn't want to go through this anymore. It was the fear level. I was stressing out. So I was searching for an alternative. I moved to Sarasota, Florida. I Google it. I research it. And I find thermal imaging. And what it does is it uses heat to find cancer or suspicious areas in your breast. And it supposedly does this. And I'm not going to let Rita talk to you because Rita is the expert. But it does find it, according to Rita, and what I have researched on the internet, it can find cancer years before a mammogram will pick it up. So, Rita, I'm going to let you take it away. And I always had a great time with Rita because not only does she do a thermogram of my breasts, she also kind of educates me about breast health. She says, you know, Terry, there's a lot of congestion there in your breast area. You know, you got to stop wearing your bra so much. You got to do some kind of exercise that drains your lymph nodes. And I like that because I don't want to get cancer. I want to prevent breast cancer. And Rita has educated me. She's has tons of information. So here she is, Rita Rimmer. Take it away, girl, and tell us why thermograms are different than mammograms.
Well, there's a real basic difference. One, one test, the mammogram, and I'm going to include ultrasound, breast ultrasound, and MRIs. Basically, those are known as anatomical tests. They look at the anatomy of the body, which, you know, a tumor is, it's anatomical. It has structure to it. Thermography, on the other hand, is a physiological test. It looks at the physiology of the body. So we know, at least most of us should know, that we are made up of anatomy, which is our skeletal structure, and physiology, which is all the functions that the body does, blood flow, nerve activity, lymphatic activity, inflammation. All these things are functional things. So thermography shows the function, where mammograms just show the structure. So if they don't see a structure, basically they say you're okay, you can go home, they don't see anything. And those are the words that you really have to listen to, is they don't see anything. They're not saying nothing is there. They're just saying they're not seeing it. They're not seeing a structure or an anomaly, a structural anomaly that would make it suspicious. Thermography, on the other hand, will see the function or the physiology of the breast that shows suspicious blood flow that's coming into the breast. Our breast should not get filled up with blood. So that would be very suspicious. We can tell the difference between a really fibrocystic breast that's showing a lot of lumps on the mammogram versus a cancer, because lumps or fibrocystic cysts don't have the same inflammation that a cancer would. So we can differentiate, so you don't have to run and keep having biopsies, because they're seeing the structure, but they don't know if it's a bad structure or a not so bad structure. So you're in there having a biopsy to figure out which one it is. So it can help you eliminate a lot of the biopsies that are done unnecessarily because of mammograms.
Right. Well, why do you think conventional medicine is now terrorizing women, and to the point where they now fear their own breasts? Well, they'll go and have, their breasts completely taken out because they are so afraid of having breast cancer. I mean, why are they so much into the cure and not into prevention?
Well, first of all, prevention makes them no money. That's simple. I mean, really, what if you don't have a disease, they're not going to get paid, right? If you're not sick, they're not going to get paid. So they have to find a way to scare you enough to make you go and pay, I guess. I mean, that's how I see it anyway. We're being dragged into this financial gain kind of business. I mean, the medical industry is made up to make money. And if we think that it's made up because they want to keep people healthy, forget it. I'm sorry. I don't believe it. And if you do believe it, I kind of not feel sorry for you, but hope that you'll see the light, that, you know, they talk a good game about, well, no, you have to do this, you have to take this drug or that drug, you have to have a biopsy, you have to, oh, we'll have to cut into the breast, we have to take them all off because you have stage zero cancer. It's not really cancer yet, but we're going to be preventative. So they have a confusion over the word prevention. Prevention is preventing the disease from ever getting started, or doing all the things that, you know, can help you avoid getting cancer once you get on what can cause cancer, once you know those things. You know, prevention is not cutting off your breasts, because they don't cut them off enough that you'll never get breast cancer, believe it or not, because they don't take off all the breast tissue. So you can actually, in reality, still get breast cancer. So what is that all about? It's just appeasing you, really. It's just appeasing you, making you get unnecessary surgery, making you think that you can avoid thinking about breast cancer forevermore. That's my opinion. I mean, I'm saying this as, you know, I've been doing this for 15 years. I've seen many, many thousands of women. And they're all in fear of getting breast cancer. But if I relay to them some of the things that I can do or they can do to maybe be more preventative or being more proactive about not getting cancer, they say, well, my doctor doesn't agree with that, so it can't be so. And that's another question, you know, that a woman has to ask herself. What am I doing to really help this along? It's not, oh, I'll wait till I get it, and then they can figure out how to get rid of it. You know, I may die, or now they're saving more lives. You know, they're saving more women from dying from breast cancer. So shouldn't worry about the outcome as much. You have to worry about the outcome as much as you did before. Even when they tell you more women are living longer after breast surgery. They're living longer. They're not saying they're not dying from it, okay?
Yeah, well, actually, breast cancer is on the rise.
Always will be.
More women are now being diagnosed with breast cancer. So they're not doing anything in the war against breast cancer prevention. But what they are trying to do is, as you say, is prolong somebody's life. And I think that's what women want. They want to have, okay, if I get breast cancer, I want a cure.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it's really still the slash and burn. Cutting out, mastectomies, radiation, chemotherapy. And who the hell wants to go through that? I was talking to a woman, two nights ago who has had mastectomies. She's all, and this happened when she was 37 years old. And she, it's been 10 years. She is now actually 48. And she's a beautiful girl. We were at Marina Jack's, and she was telling me how deeply psychologically scarred she is from that whole ordeal. And she's had the radiation and the chemotherapy. And I'm like, but it was 10 years ago. Yeah, I mean, you're fine now. Why? And she goes, oh, no. She goes, that totally changed my life. And another sad part of that story is her sister, Michelle, passed away. It will be 3 years now from breast cancer. So it was just a really sad story. And I know a lot of mammograms have failed my friends. I have a sister-in-law who the year before came out fine. You know, you're great, good for another year. And then I think 6 months later, she found a lump and went to the doctors. And lo and behold, she had stage 4 breast cancer and eventually passed away. Even she did do some experimental treatments, but she did unfortunately pass away. And there is mammogram. And conventional medicine definitely failed her. And
she get a mammogram every year?
She did.
Well, there you go. I mean, how can you have mammograms every year and end up, when it's discovered, it being stage 4 already?
Exactly.
I mean, that's my question. You go every year. Today, any fixed time that you want to pick, you can think of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of women, because I don't really know the number. At least thousands, let's say thousands of women today who went to have a mammogram and got told, we're not seeing anything, you're good to go, and they're walking around with cancer that's not going to be discovered for, say, another 3 or 4 years, when she could be doing something about it.
Exactly. And did I read this right? It takes 10 years for the cancer to show up on a mammogram?
Well, it depends on the type of cancer that a woman has. There are more slow-growing cancers, and they're more aggressive type of cancers. So a time frame like that is, you know, 5 to 10 years. Most doctors, if you ask them, if a woman asks, well, I'm being diagnosed today, and some doctors will say, you know, well, yeah, but that's been there for 3 or 4 years, even 5. They like to go lower. They like to go a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a 2-centimeter tumor in your breast, it's a year or two. No, it could be more like 10 to 15 years that has been in development. In other words, your cancer that they find today started many, many years ago. And if you can just think back, if you are one of the unlucky women listening to us today who's gone through breast cancer, think about what you were doing about 15, 10 to 15 years before the actual cancer was diagnosed. And most often than not, at least the experience I've had with women, they all tell me of some either disaster in their life, some emotional stressor, death of someone, divorce, whatever, unhappiness that they suffered for a very long time, which really changes your immunity.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, cancer just ends up having a party. Once your immune system is offline,
right,
cancer just has a ball because there's nothing that's going to kill it in your body. So stress, emotional stress specifically, are things that you should look at either if you're going through it now, try to, and I hate to say that because, man, is it hard to snap out of it when you're hurting. But if I can say, try to snap out of it. Try to make it a little more positive for yourself, because all that negativity, all that unhappiness, all that sadness will lower your immune system to such a point where you're going to be sick.
Oh, that's okay. That's hard to play with
this
stress.
This is what prevention is mm-hmm. all about. We do have to understand that we're very emotional women, especially men too. We're very emotional. We react emotionally to all things. But try to see if you can learn, get better coping mechanisms with life, because that is really going to make you, you know, be better equipped to fight any disease, not just cancer. Oh, but cancer is at the top of the list, but heart disease is right there with it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So even diabetes. I mean, a lot of yeah. people get diabetes because of stress.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is an autoimmune disease.
Yes. So mm-hmm. stress, I would put at the top of the list when I talk about prevention. When we talk about prevention, stress has to be at the top of the list. But stress just goes through all diseases, okay? So you can get anything. Just because you're stressed doesn't mean you're going to get cancer. It means mm-hmm. you could have a heart attack just like that, you know?
Right.
Or it just could mean so many things. It just depends on where the vulnerability is in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So stress is at the bottom, at the top of the list, at the very top. And then I, of course, diet is my next one. Diet mm-hmm. and motion. Movement. You have to move your body. And I'm not going to say exercise. I'm not going to say anything specific, but you've got to move. If you sit, if you're static, your body can't function. Your body has to, everything in your body, all the fluids in your body have to move around the body. And if you're sitting still, it ain't going to happen. So
mm-hmm.
those are the three things that I really stress.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth thing, and not really more minor, is the clothes that you wear and the things that you use on your body, on your skin.
Mm-hmm.
All those things make a difference. But that's really talking about our life. That's what we do. We get stressed. We eat. We don't move. Some of us tend to be a little bit more
right.
relaxed.
Right.
And we wear things that are bad for us, whether it's in clothing or things that have tons of chemicals in them.
Mm-hmm.
We clean our houses with tons of chemicals. Right. We live in chemicals, carpeting and sofas and things like that, full of chemicals. And then we wonder why we have anything going on with us that will kill us. Breast cancer, you know, the stress, then the chemicals kind of take over. You know, you have stress, chemicals, your immune system can't clear away those chemicals, so they damage cells. Radiation, you brought up radiation, which I think is huge, and we hardly ever talk about it. We go and get tons of x-rays all the time. Nobody keeps a list. I don't know anybody that comes in with a list and says, well, I had dental x-rays. Oh, I had a chest x-ray. Or I went to the emergency room and with a broken ankle. I had a 64 slice CAT scan of my heart. I had a PET mm-hmm. scan. Nobody really measures the amount of radiation then they accumulate even in a few months.
Right.
It's scary.
Right.
And this is, you know, the doctors always say, oh, but you get just as much standing outside in the sun. Yes, you do, but your body is used to that kind of radiation. This is why we live on this planet.
Right. Well, isn't that also different radiation? We're talking solar radiation.
Yeah, we're talking
ionizing gamma
radiation.
Right, and
gamma
radiation. I mean, so they're always throwing that in your face, and you just want to say, come on, I'm intelligent enough to know it's different radiation.
Well, my question, and their answer is always, well, it's the amount of radiation that you get flying across country in an airplane. I'm like, yeah, well, is that for a dental x-ray is that much, or a PET scan is that much, or, you know, are they all equivalent to a flight across the country?
Right, right.
Or what? A PET scan, I mean, they put the radioactive stuff in your veins,
right,
and then take x-rays or
mm-hmm.
a CAT scan.
Mm-hmm.
CAT scans are an inordinate amount of radiation, which they never
yes.
tell you about.
I know.
You know, you could have is the equivalent of hundreds of chest x-rays with one CAT scan.
Exactly.
So we're not questioning. We don't question. That's you know, and I say sometimes to myself, you know, I say we get what we deserve.
Uh-huh.
We get what we ask for because we don't ask for anything different.
Mm-hmm.
So you asked me, why are the doctors not looking at thermography? I don't know. Did you ask me that? Why they're not ordering them? Why are they just doing mammograms?
No, I didn't ask that, but that is a really good question. And I have a friend who works for radiologists. She markets for them, and she is very much, she's asked her doctors all the time, you know, hey, I have a friend who lives across the street from me, and she's very much into thermography or in thermograms, and she asked them, and they're like so dead set against it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, what's the big deal? Why don't you just have both?
Well, ask them. If any doctor ever says that to you, you should ask them, how many hours did you have learning about thermography? I mean, doctors take, you know, hours of training for new technologies and stuff. So how many hours have you had in training in thermography? And I would venture to say that most of them are going to say none. And their answer to you is based on nothing because they haven't really done any kind of investigation to see what is this test all about. In the 15 years I've been doing thermography here in Sarasota, two doctors,
mm-hmm.
count them, two, have called me and said, could you come over and please explain this test to me?
Mm-hmm.
Because their patients were asking, and these two doctors wanted to know.
Right.
And so I went and did a little presentation for them explaining what the test is about. Now they're more willing to have their clients say, I don't want to have a mammogram, I want a thermogram. And they know what to answer. Say, well, that's up to you. You can do both.
Actually, my gynecologist and general practitioner the minute I say I have thermograms, I don't do mammograms, they're perfectly fine with that.
Well, around here, and like I said, I've been around 15 years here in Sarasota, so the doctors around here kind of know. They've had thermograms come across their desks, so they're kind of more accepting. They don't see it as a really bad thing.
Right.
The thing to them that is a negative thing about thermography is that insurance doesn't, across the board, pay for it. And usually doctors will not send you to have things done that your insurance won't cover.
That's true. But, you know, and also in that note, I know women will stampede to their plastic surgeon to have Botox, which is probably about $600, and they have to do this every 3 months. And yet a thermogram, they don't want to pay for. I mean, that's unconscionable to me.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I first started doing this, I did a health fair in a mall for a 3-day weekend, and it was tough work for three days. I had a whole tent set up where I could actually go in this tent and scan people,
mm-hmm.
and I was charging $75 a thermogram. So this was an introductory offer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was there for 3 days, and this woman started, first thing I remember was the Saturday that I was there. I was there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And this woman started early Saturday morning, came by my site there, and she started asking me about what it was. So I explained it to her, and then she asked me how much it was going to cost. And I told her it was $75. And then she said, well, will my insurance pay for this? And I said, most likely no. And plus, I think she was on Medicare. And I said, definitely not Medicare, won't pay for it. So she said, well, I can't have it done then because, you know, it's just what I'm going to get paid for. But I'll think about it. I'll walk around and I'll come back. She came back four times that day. She was driving me out of my mind because every time she came, she would ask me, well, why doesn't insurance pay for this? You know,
right.
She kept asking me to explain that. I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Finally, I kind of got a little bit perturbed after the fourth time that she came by and was taking up my time
right.
and time away from other people that wanted to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally said to her, I said, what are you doing in the mall today?
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, I just came to buy a pair of shoes for a wedding. And I said, oh, do you think you're going to find anything around $75 or probably if you want to buy for a wedding, you're probably going to spend more than that. And guess what? Your insurance company isn't going to cover that either. But you're still going to buy the shoes.
I know. It's all about priorities.
And that was my first indication where women were on this, you know.
Right.
Money will be spent on, tons of makeup, perfume,
mm-hmm.
shoes. Oh, you know, you go into a shoe store. Saks or something. I mean, I went in there one day and I was looking at $700 shoes. Well, I'm sorry. I don't think you should pay $700 for any pair of shoes. I wear flip-flops.
Right.
So,
well, we're in Sarasota.
But
so,
when I started to understand that, and I've seen women over and over since as to why they can't do something that's good for them.
Mm.
It's been an eye-opener. I mean,
shocking. I know.
If nothing else, this has taught me so much about human beings. And a lot about money,
mm-hmm.
which you do when you're in your own business. You learn a lot about money. But why people do what they do. So that's why our advertising agencies are phenomenal places to work because they make a lot of money trying to convince us about all the things that are really hurting us.
Well, you know, fear is a big motivator. So maybe your new advertising plan should be scaring people to death.
No, because fright and, you know, fear makes people sick.
Well, I know. That's how they get people to
motivate. I couldn't do that
motivate
in my
them.
Right, you know.
I know. You're too.
Yeah, no, I couldn't.
You're too honest and sweet.
Well, if the rest of the world, or at least half the world, was as caring about his fellow man as I am, you know what I mean? Just half the world, not even the whole thing.
Right.
We might have a better planet to live on. Right now, we're not getting it because nobody seems to care about the guy next to him or the woman next to her. You know, it's just only when you're in that trial and tribulation is when you really wake up to the wonderfulness of life. Is so many people who've had breast cancer, any kind of cancer, will say, having cancer has taught me how to live.
Mm.
And I hear that so often.
Ugh.
So often. But as far as I'm concerned, I like to learn that without getting cancer to teach me that lesson.
I prefer that way, too. So, anyhow, I am a big information person. I love information. So when I went in for my mammogram, they would, you know, being in some room, I would never see the films. They would never show me the suspicious area. They would never point it out to me. And I was kind of like, you know, left in the dark. Here I am. These are my breasts. Please, you got a suspicious spot. Let me see it. But even if they did show it to me, I couldn't read it. But you, on the other hand, I love coming here. And I, since the first time I came in here, is you do the thermogram and it's instant. And you have it right on your screen, which I can watch as you're doing it. And you can show me, hey, this area, you know, is better than last time. This looks like it's clearing up. Your inflammation's going down here. And, oh, I can tell you're wearing a, you know, wire bra because there's some real inflammation down here. And she does this with colors. And white being the hot spot. Blue,
hot temperature.
And blue is
very cool, a cooler temperature.
Cooler temperature. And
it's all about temperatures.
So what color are you aiming for the healthy breasts should be?
Not very hot. You know.
So what color is that?
Maybe I should explain what thermography is looking at. Basically, thermal imaging is the study of your body's thermal, we have temperatures in our bodies, inside and outside, okay? So our skin is the transfer of heat from within our body to out, and also transfers heat and cold from the outside in. So that's a transfer, and it's, and that function is usually controlled by your sympathetic nervous system. So let's, for example, say it's very hot outside, and you know that when it's, you're very hot, your pores, your skin, the pores in your skin are all opened up wide so that your body inside doesn't get overheated by the heat that's in the outside environment. And vice versa, it's freezing outside and you got coats and mittens and boots and all that, but you're still cold. Your pores are going to be closed up as tight as a drum to maintain the heat that's inside your body. Okay, so that's a response of your sympathetic nervous system. It opens and closes your pores depending on what the environment is outside and inside a room. Well, you can kind of think of it in the same way as it happening from inside the body out. So if you have, say, a cancer growing in your breast, it's going to be very, very hot. The hotter, the more advanced the cancer is, the hotter it is. Well, that heat, the body doesn't like having all that extra heat in the body, right? Mm-hmm. So what it does, right above the that area where this tumor is, the pores on your skin, usually called sphincters, but I'm going to call them pores, they open up, allowing that heat to come out. And when they're opened up like that, we can see it on thermography. So we see that as a really hot spot because the pores are telling us that, you know, all this heat is coming from those pores. So that's how specific it is. A lot of doctors say, oh, thermography is not specific because they're thinking of seeing a structure of a tumor. We're looking at the breast filled up with blood supporting a tumor. That has to happen way long before a tumor forms. It has to have an environment to grow. So your breast, the cancer cells, even when they're cells, they're taking in blood from your system in order to survive and flourish. And as that blood supply grows, they develop their own blood system. So that more blood comes in to feed them. That's how they live. That's how malignant cells live. Then they can grow into a tumor, the more and more and more of them as they divide and multiply. And then you get a tumor. So that could take years. So that's what I'm saying. It could take years, mm-hmm. but not necessarily as a tumor. The mm-hmm. tumor is almost like a later stage.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Because the formation, the environment in your breast has to change in order to accommodate the growth of a tumor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what thermography sees. That's why we can say, if you come in 1 year and have a thermogram, and like we say, everything is okay, everything is staying stable from the last time we saw you, don't see anything change, and you go home, you can pretty much be sure that there is nothing going on. Mm-hmm. Say now you come back the following year, and we see the slightest change mm-hmm. in those thermal patterns,
mm-hmm.
we call that suspicious. But okay. it could be like the first, within the first year of development of this to mm-hmm. be cancer.
Right.
Okay. The thing is, if you go and have a mammogram at that point, mammogram is not going to see anything. And it's happened all too often where we say that it's suspicious. Mm-hmm. And the doctor, you bring it to your doctor. The doctor says, okay, well, we got to have a mammogram because that's the gold standard for mm-hmm. finding cancer. And you go and have a mammogram. Mammogram doesn't see anything, especially if you have a lot of density.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go home, oops, that thermography is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrong. It just, you know, it's no good, blah, blah, blah. And they don't come back and have another thermogram.
Mm-hmm.
But through scuttlebutt or through rumor or through people talking or just actually people talking, I get the news that so-and-so, who I saw 4 or 5 years ago, is having a double mastectomy mm-hmm. or is having a mastectomy.
Wow.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, on those days, really, I always say, why am I getting up to do this when mm-hmm. women don't care enough about themselves not to believe everything they hear?
Mm-hmm.
If she had come back to me,
right.
and said, gee, you know, the mammogram hasn't found anything. I said, good, we keep on having thermograms
mm-hmm.
until we can prove it mm-hmm. to somebody like even by biopsy, just do a biopsy where we're seeing it,
mm-hmm.
which has happened, where they take out malignant cells. It's
mm-hmm.
not a tumor yet. That mm-hmm. is early detection.
That's great. That's a really good
late
point.
Detection is when they have a half a centimeter tumor.
Mm-hmm.
That's already a late stage cancer.
Wow. Okay.
So you have to have that in your head. So if you go and have a mammogram, if you have dense breasts,
mm-hmm.
do not walk out of there without getting an ultrasound as well.
Oh, yeah. Well,
okay.
That's kind of hard.
I know, but
that's
you stand there and say, I don't care if I'm camping here. You give me an ultrasound.
Mm-hmm.
Two, if you have dense breasts,
mm-hmm.
if they say, well, you have dense breasts, well, that they're saying we can't see anything because you have dense breasts. So you got one, radiation for nothing because they can't see through the density.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're letting you go home. And you should be thinking, well, if they didn't, because I'm dense, they might have missed something. I want an ultrasound as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's another assurance. Don't let them talk you into what they want to do. You are the consumer. You ask for what you need to know.
Right. But what's better than an ultrasound is coming and seeing you.
Well, yeah, but if you're working through a doctor, not everybody I know is going to want to come and do this, but I'm also giving you something to do when you want to just depend on mammograms, and I'm telling you not to
mm-hmm.
just depend on mammograms. Have your doctor write out the script for a mammogram and possible ultrasound
mm-hmm.
if you have density in the breast. If you're fibrocystic, whatever they want to call it, fibrocystic, breast density, cystic, all of that means the same thing.
Right.
It stops the radiation waves from going through the breast to see something that they're looking for.
That's great.
Okay?
That's a
so
good point. Good
do
point.
Not leave there without also getting an ultrasound.
All right. Well, geez, asking your doctor for anything out of the ordinary is extremely difficult.
We have to start becoming demanding of our doctors and our healthcare system. If we don't, we're going to be very sick people because they have an idea in mind. What is the most expedient way to treat a person, all these people, right? We make them chronically sick, put everybody on the same protocol, okay? Everybody has a mammogram. Everybody gets on a statin drug. Everybody takes high blood pressure medication. And they think they're being preventative. All they're doing is making us sick.
Right.
But
right.
that's their paradigm.
Right.
Our paradigm is we want things cured. We want to be given the advice as to how to be preventative and not get sick,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of doctors don't know, because if you look at a lot of doctors, they look sicker than you when you show up sick.
Absolutely true.
I have. So we really have to change our mindset. Ask questions. Demand different things. Just demand that you have the right care. So if you have a mammogram, you don't want to trust a mammogram alone. You do not want to trust a mammogram alone. And if you do, you're going to be one of those, I'm afraid, because more and more women, I think now it's what, one in three women?
One in three.
So one in three women that have mammograms are going to get breast cancer because they're not going to see it until it's late stage disease.
A sad, sad truth. All right, and I want to also point out that you don't only do breasts, but I'm looking at a poster right here, and there is a knee.
Mm-hmm.
So you do digital infrared and thermal imaging everything.
That's just a sample to show how thermography works in someone getting acupuncture.
Oh, okay.
That just shows you how we can see the changes in the physiology when someone sticks those needles into a certain part of your body. That happens to be your knee. We can do the full body.
Which I have had done.
Yes.
I've had the full body.
From head to toe.
Mm-hmm.
The breast requires two visits. One is done the first time you come in, and then 3 months or so later, we ask you to come back and repeat the test so we can establish stability within
mm-hmm.
those 3 months. things change very quickly on thermography where they don't change very quickly on a mammogram. Mm-hmm. So thermography will show changes in the pattern, the level of inflammation over weeks' time rather than right. months and years. So we see things quickly. So for breast, you need to come back to get the follow-up in 3 months to right. get that first time, that baseline established. Then after that, it's done annually.
All right. And you not only look at the film yourself, is it film or an image, you also send it out to people who read it, mm-hmm. to a special clinic.
Right. I've worked with these doctors now for 15 years. They're medical doctors. They're certified to read thermography images, just like a radiologist is certified to read x-rays. They are certified to read thermography images, and they generate a report which comes back to me, and then I send it to you. Right. And you get your report. It doesn't go through a doctor unless you come in with a prescription for a thermogram. It won't go to a doctor. It won't go to anyone but you. So you're going to be in charge of your results. And this is one more recommendation that while I have your attention, I'm going to make, and that is to keep your records. Keep your records. All the copies of all your reports, how many radiation tests you have, what procedures you have. You keep your records. Because, you know, the insurance company has them too. And that's how they charge you what they charge you in insurance mm-hmm. premiums, is they know what your medical status is. And unfortunately, we don't want to go that route. With thermography, we only deal with you, our client. So mm-hmm. you tell us if you want it sent to a doctor or the test just comes to you. You don't have to send it into insurance company unless you want it covered.
Right.
But
right.
a lot of people come in here and say, no, I don't want my insurance company to know. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go from me to an insurance company. Mm-hmm. It only goes from you to an insurance company.
Well, I remember my first thermogram with you. It showed a suspicious spot, and actually, I saw it come up on your laptop screen, and I saw the color in your face go.
Kind of drop?
Yes, yes.
I can't help myself. I can't, you know, I can't be one of those. I try.
I know,
honestly.
I know, but.
I do try not to show any kind of change when I see something. It's a very, very difficult thing to do because you're looking at it, too.
I'm looking at it, too, and I was totally calm and cool about it because I have been down that road so long, and I know exactly. I looked at it, and I knew it was a cyst, mm-hmm. you know. And
we did, too, though.
You did too.
We did, too, because, you know, a cyst can be very, very hot. It can be very angry.
Very hot. Yep. It was very hot, yep. but it didn't have much of a blood flow
right.
to it.
Right,
I did physically could feel it, and it was like a balloon. And so I know what a cyst feels like by now. And then, but your report that was sent to me from your doctors that you sent it to, they suggested an ultrasound. Mm-hmm. So I did take it to my gynecologist, and I had an ultrasound, and yep, it was a cyst.
Well, that was the first time we saw you, so we have only that one test to look at. That's why
yes.
it's important to get that follow-up in 3 months.
Yes.
But we don't want, if we see something sort of suspicious to us on the first one, we're not going to have you wait 3 months.
Exactly.
So an ultrasound is a good way to go.
Yeah.
So if you do thermography with ultrasound in conjunction with ultrasound, I say we're pretty good at, you know, we're probably about 99% sure there's nothing going on in your breast.
That's true. And, you know, and that to me is worth everything because I can walk around and I feel so good knowing that I'm being careful about my breast health. And I know I come here and I know that there's nothing going on, really, because I come every year and we check it out. In fact, you tell me that I'm improving. Because I do follow your principles, and, you know, I've tried to give up the underwire bras, for example, and she always criticizes the bras I wear, and, you know, and I do a rebounder
I'm
now.
I'm doing it for your own good.
I know you are.
Not for mine.
And I do a rebounder, which is a little trampoline, and that gets the lymphatic system going. So, yeah, things are good.
Well, a cyst, and a lot of women don't know this when they, you know, the doctors say, well, it's, you know, you drink too much coffee. Well, yes, too much coffee can aggravate
Right.
It can cause more inflammation, and then you'll have pain, right?
Yes.
So basically, it's a fluid-filled sac. When they take a biopsy or a needle extraction from a cyst, it's a fluid,
right?
And it's lymphatic fluid.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's like, okay, your lymph fluid is stuck in your breast. It's not going anywhere. So
mm-hmm.
when I go back to motion and movement, that is essential for our immune system to work properly. Our lymphatic system is our immune system.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not moving, if it's not draining properly, you're going to have issues. Will it cause cancer by wearing a bra? Not, I don't think so, but it can certainly enhance it.
Right. So anyhow, we're going to close this up, and I want to thank you, Rita, and maybe we
thank
can
you.
Do this again, because there's so much more we could talk about, and
mm-hmm.
you and I both love talking about
yes.
this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And anyhow,
and we should.
We should. We should. We should have much more discussions. And if anybody has any questions or would like to schedule
or comments.
Or comments.
Yes.
Please, only good comments, because we don't like negative comments, because we're sensitive. But anyhow, you can call Rita and schedule an appointment at 941-330-9318. And I would recommend, if you don't live in Florida, to fly down and see Rita, because I think she's the best at what she does.
Well, I can give you someone just as nice, maybe, where you are. So,
or you can call her up for suggestions, or you can Google it. But I have to tell you, Rita, you just are the best at it. You are so informative. You take so much time with people, and you don't rush us along, and you have great information. I love talking to you.
Thanks.
I love smart people, and
I like
smart.
You, too, because you're like that, too. I'm very, very, one thing that I have to say in all these years, the women that come to me are strong women, they're determined women, they're not going to be pushed around kind of women. They don't care about paying out of pocket for something that they think is going to be good for them. It's been an experience meeting an unbelievable group of women. And I've kind of tallied the number over 6,000 women that I've run across or I've done their breasts.
Wow.
I
Holy
know.
Smokes, that's a great thing to say. Again, the phone number is 941-330-9318. And her name is the lovely Rita Rimmer, R-I-M-M-E-R, and she is at Health Imaging in Sarasota, Florida. So give her a call. All right. Thank you for listening. Rita, thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you all. I'll be here with any questions you might have.
Well, that's true. You know, you can always email her,
mm-hmm.
and your email address is?
ririm@msn.com.
And you can always find me at internetboomer.com. This is Terry Ryan, over and out. Bye.